and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Joined today by...
Can you guess?
Well, they can now.
I'll put on a different voice.
I'll still guess. All your voices sound the same.
Oh, okay. Like a madman.
No, you are not. Alistair, whatever his name is, you are not.
Alistair Sin.
McGowan. Is that his name? I don't know.
The ventriloquist.
I should have gone with Rory Bremner, because at least I can remember his name.
He doesn't know who you are, though.
He doesn't. He's lost, though.
How are you?
So, I'm fine. I'm still struggling with a paint scheme for my Wrath of Kings models.
Is that from over a week ago?
Yes. I'm struggling.
Well, struggle you not, sir.
I've painted several of them and I can't work out a colour scheme I like.
Struggle ye not?
Why should I not struggle?
Because we should talk, we should record and talk about some balderdash or other on Fool's Daily.
Okay, then let's do that. So why don't we answer a topic suggestion that the lovely Dave Fraser sent us?
Go on then, let's do that.
So Dave Fraser sent us a show idea, and his show idea was hoarding versus selling games. And no, let me start again, because I can't speak or read, apparently. So Dave's idea was hoarding versus selling and games coming back around again, as it's been over 20 years since he last played Epic, and he's playing Epic again now. So, as someone who has recently sold figures, first time for everything, and as someone who possibly has more hoarded away than I do, I'm not sure we're the best people to talk about this.
Possibly not. Was your selling down to part of a community service order or something? Or was it...
No. It was part of it was down to the fact that no one in the community played those games. And I don't think that the games are going to survive.
So you were doing some good for the community.
I was. I was preemptively getting rid of stuff while it still had a resale value.
I've sold very little over the years in my wargaming life. I may have sold some armies, fantasy battle armies, and a Trojan army to a young Mr. Rob, and the odd figures here and there, probably from like Games Workshop, Games Day releases or something like that.
Right.
And the Citadel Giant, the original one. I got £1,000 for that.
I'm not surprised.
And
that was an awesome, awesome figure.
It was, but I looked at it and I thought, I could do this to a lot of the things that I have.
Well, I think perhaps we should.
I look at it and I think I've had it for years and I've done nothing with it. So let it go. And perhaps that's what I should do with other stuff.
£1,000 for the Citadel Giant.
Yep, that's about the going rate. 8 to 8.
No, it's...
It's more now, is it?
It's a very rare model. That's very impressive.
I still had the box and everything.
Oh, did you?
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of those few pieces that are actually a collector's piece, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, judging by the price of it, yeah, and it had all the complete heads and the different people to put in the bloke's hand, because it comes with a whole load of extra bits, that giant.
Yeah, and it's massive. It's like 12 inches high, isn't it?
It's about that, yeah. And it's really heavy. It's proper lead as well, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, I think the most expensive single figure I ever sold was a Kegox, the Pete Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, was in a box. Had never been built. I had the other one as well. The Great Spine Dragon.
Yes. Yes, I've got that.
That you had to make your own wing membranes for and stuff. But I actually built and painted that one. But Kegox never got built, so I sold that. I got nowhere near a grand for it, though.
The Citadel Giant is on eBay at the moment for £850.
Wow. See, I know I'm a complete spendthrift when it comes to figures. I could never spend that much on one miniature.
It was clearly for a collection as well.
What's the most you've ever spent on a figure?
Probably the whatchamacallit, the Colossals type things, which are 60, 70 quid, aren't they?
Right, okay.
But that's the equivalent to some of those starter box sets, aren't they? To some extent. But yeah, those would be the most expensive things that I would have bought, I think.
Interesting.
Why? What's the most expensive? I should ask the same question of you, sir.
How much is it?
I'm not sure you should say, should you?
So that's them calling you to say, don't ask that question. That's my legal representatives. I can't remember the exact price. It was more than a Colossal, though. And it's a much smaller miniature than the Colossal. It was... there's an ogre that Iliad made. Do you remember Iliad?
I do remember Iliad.
You had me on mute, didn't you?
I had you on mute so that I could switch the phone off and move about. It's professional, see? You see.
See,
I've now got the house phone in my hand, ready to switch the volume down on that.
So Iliad made... I've got quite a few Iliad miniatures. And they made an ogre butcher type model. I use them as my commander in my open combat crew. And they weren't around for very long because they couldn't. They were a boutique company and they couldn't cope with the demand for their miniatures. And so they just shut down. And no one ever bought the molds, which always surprised me, because there's some absolutely beautiful works. That big troll guy that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago.
How are you spelling Iliad?
I-L-Y-A-D.
It's Y, okay. Not I.
No.
So you were saying yes?
So he was the most expensive figure that I bought. I had to get him from... They came from France and... he was very, very good.
But...
They do some beautiful stuff.
I've seen that figure... and it's just really nice. So
it's an awesome figure. And you know, they're humans and things. I'm not as impressed with, but they're big monsters. I love their big monsters because they are massive. That's the thing. I mean, there's one of these giant troll things on sale at the moment. It's on the buy it now is 30 quid. It's easily worth 30 quid because it's bloody huge.
But anyway, we're digressing on the prices of lead. And
yes, well, or resin. Yeah, so...
The problem is with anything that you've got in quantity. You know, for instance, Anne loves her talking books, so she listens to a talking book and then they get dumped in a plastic box in the study here for me to... move on. So every now and then I will have a bit of a purge and put them on eBay, which is quite easy because a lot of it's, you can put these things on by ISBN numbers, but you've still got to pack them and send them off and make sure that they look okay, potentially even clean the CDs. And the same goes for miniatures. You've got to go away, you've got to categorize them, you've got to put them on, and the pain of selling them becomes more of hoarding them, more than hoarding them. It's an easy option to hoard.
Yes, provided you have an understanding significant other.
Yes, which I don't have.
That's why you have two extra storage units she doesn't know about.
Ah, is that how it goes?
No. No, no, I do have a very understanding. Though I did have to buy a bigger house to store everything. I've actually sold quite a lot recently. Because I sold all my Warhammer stuff.
All of
it? The majority of it. What did I sell? I sold my vampire counts. I sold my demons. I sold...
See, I've still got my beastmen and demons and dwarves and undead. And ideally, I'd like to get rid of the undead and possibly the beastmen, but probably not, because I've kept my fantasy battle armies hoping that one day I'd be able to play with them again in some way, shape or form. But the more games I play, the newer games and games recently, the more games that I've been playing seem to gear towards the skirmish game itself, apart from War and Conquest.
If Warhammer goes skirmish...
And Epic, I suppose, as well.
If Warhammer goes skirmish, then you're sorted.
Well, this is it, yes.
I only have my Skaven left for Fantasy Battle. And I repurposed my Barbarians into other games. There's nothing I regret selling. Actually, that's not true. I regret selling my Bits box.
With the bits in.
Yeah. I came back from America and we had no money at all. And we were, starting the business and stuff. And so I had to sell things to get cash in. And at the time, Maelstrom Games, I don't even know it was Maelstrom Games at the time, were doing, 25 quid a kilo.
Yeah.
John Dale was up in Scotland for some reason. He turned up at my house with a pair of kitchen scales. We plonked my bits box on the...
You plonked your bits on the table?
I plonked my bits... No, on the scales.
On the scales, which are on the table.
I plonked my bits box. And my bit box... So my bits box, this is all the lead that I have collected since... that was surplus since 1987... until 2003, so 97, 2007, so that's 20, 18, 19 years worth of collection.
Yep.
And then John wrote me a very large check.
Oh. So you got some money for it then?
Oh, I got 1,200 quid.
Gordon. A lot of lead.
But it's lead though. Yeah. I mean, it weighs a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those. Those Games Workshop mail order boxes you used to get, the big rectangular ones that are maybe 18 inches by 12 inches.
That would fit their big, big box games in.
Yeah.
Like Fantasy Battle.
It was one of those filled with figures.
Oh, that's going to be very heavy because I remember doing a lead run. One of the few times that I was allowed to do a lead run at GW when I was meeting Jervis. And I got one of the smallest boxes that they could give you. And I filled that with a load of demons and things. And that was heavy, just the small, the tiny box,
Yeah. There was stuff in that box from lead runs that I had done. There was stuff in that box from... sales. There were figures in there that if I bothered to sell them individually, I would probably have made more.
Yeah.
There was, especially not possibly then, but definitely now, there were a lot of early Citadel stuff with, you know, on integral method bases, things like one-eyed goblin mutants and stuff.
Yeah.
The Hopper and things like that. But now there's a sort of a second-hand market for those sorts of things, a collector's market. There was a load of that stuff that I'd picked up for pennies off this guy that I knew at college who'd started to play stuff and had collected for a while and then just didn't want to. And I just bought all off him for like a fiver. And I got an absolute, you know, effectively a toolbox worth of stuff.
Yep.
So I do regret selling that, because since I've sold that, there were bits in that Bix box that I have then repurchased for projects that have come along later. And that's the thing with selling stuff up, because you sell stuff and then you can guarantee that there will be a project that comes along that you think, oh, I wish I still had that figure.
No, I mean, I agree with you. And then as has happened with you, with our love of Epic being rekindled, or yours being rekindled, mine being lit for the first time, finding stuff that's essentially OOP or you had before, you're going to be kicking yourself, because for the very reason it's OOP, it tends to be a little bit more pricey than it should be.
I'd forgotten about Epic.
Have I made you sad?
You have, because my Epic stuff, I used to play Epic, you know, second edition a lot. The one with the counters, where you put the counters down.
Yeah.
Played that a massive amount and had a massive painted orc army, all done up in clan colours. So basically, all the formations for every clan, and then all the vehicles done in the clan colours, and about six gargants and stuff. And then when I moved to America, I didn't have enough space to carry everything, so there was this guy that I was gaming with at the time, and I gave it to him. The whole lot. I just said, you know, mate, you have it, because I'm not going to get to use it. And I didn't regret it for years. And then Epic came back round again. And at the time when the Epic Armageddon rules were getting written, and I was playing again, and I had to buy a whole new Epic army. So fortunately, I haven't had to buy a new one this time around, because I already had the orcs. You know, hundreds of them.
Yeah. I can imagine that that's...
Oh, see, I'd forgotten that I gave that away.
I remember.
And that's what I used to do. I used to give it away, right? You know, sort of pay it forward sort of thing.
Basically, it's easier then, isn't it? You know, it essentially becomes easier just to give stuff away than to... For instance, these talking books, I'd love to give them to a blind charity or something like that, because
yeah.
They would probably appreciate them, and... they'd go to a good home sort of thing, and I'd get rid of them in one swoop. So that's not to say I'd like to give all my stuff away in one swoop, my figures away, wherever they all are as well, in their little places and secret hidey holes and whatever.
Well, that's it. It's finding them all, isn't it?
Or when you're clearing out stuff, you go, oh, look at this. And then you get distracted for an hour or so. And stop playing.
Yeah, but then you get other games to come around, don't you? I mean, we've been talking a lot about things like open combat and stuff.
Yeah.
And there are figures that I've purchased and have kept, and I've resisted, you know, selling on and things, because I thought, you know, I like that figure and I might paint it one day. But now I've got games to use them for. And excuse me. Things like
I thought you'd fallen off your chair then.
No. Things like what I'm trying to say.
Open combat and
No, I was thinking of my 7 TV figures.
Oh yeah. Yes. So that's all sort of genre type stuff that you've been purchasing every now and then that you'll just like the look of, you know, very much like I bought some Wild West figures ages ago, and then we got the historicals, Warhammer Historicals as it was then, Wild West rule set, whatever it's called. Never played it, and then Dead Man's Hand comes along, and all of a sudden they can be used for that, you know. So hopefully you buy these things with a purpose in your head, or an idea in your head, and something. And I think it's very much something that can be realised now, is that it's very much, there's going to be a rule set out there that you should use those figures for, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Because,
I would think so.
Because everything's so, you know, it's so diverse at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think, you know, yes, we regret holding things. Yes, if you can hoard it, you're bound to get some use out of it. And that's about it, really, isn't it?
Yes. If you need the money, you've obviously got to sell it, though. But that's that.
Yeah, and we've all had to do it.
Yep.
Right. Well, until next time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily. Or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.